Broadcasting from Lockport, New York, it's time for The Dads Must Be Crazy. Just three guys raising kids and currently hiding from them in an undisclosed tool shed to talk about parenting, pop culture, and penguins. Or something else that starts with a P. It's Craig, the stay-at-home dad historian and hockey enthusiast. Howie, the stay-at-home dad who used to be a reporter when journalism was a thing. And Bobby, the retired Army vet, Trekkie, and gamer, helping to raise three kids in beautiful Western New York. Now, here's the dads.
Welcome to the Dads Must Be Crazy. I am Craig, joined today by Howie.
Hello.
And Bobby.
Howdy.
Well, it's been a heck of a week, and we haven't had as much time to do things as we wanted. Last week, we had so much stuff going on that we didn't even have a show.
That's right.
I mean, Bobby, you and I sat over here, and we kind of talked and BS'd for about an hour and a half,
which
we never got a show down.
Which, honestly, was like one of the greatest things that happened to me last week, because with everything going on between school and instructing karate and work and family, I was exhausted. Absolutely exhausted.
It was kind of cathartic.
It really was. So,
and I missed last week because heading into that weekend, I was finishing a research paper, which I got a grade on earlier today. Got a 96.
Nine is? Awesome, awesome.
Yeah, and I wrote all 13 pages in one day, so even better.
You had a sinus thing going on too, though.
I was a bit under the weather. I never got tested, but I'm better now. I mean, it was just like one of those things I get every year.
That's right? Why he's sitting all the way down there.
Yeah, that's right. My wife's a doctor, though. She wouldn't let me out of the house if it was that bad. So, and then I finished another project that was due, originally it was due this past Friday, and we're recording 2 days after that. So it was due tonight because the professor extended the deadline. So, I mean, I was swamped as well, just with the amount of reading and everything else I had going on. It was ridiculous. So, yeah, what you're saying about, you know, an hour and a half just shooting a breeze, it can be cathartic. It's good for everybody's mental health to get out and talk to people other than your family.
Oh, it was, because, you know, it started up on Monday. Like, I had to go take my daughter to get a COVID test just so they'd let her back in the doggone school.
The middle child?
No, the oldest one.
Really?
Yeah, she had a sinus infection, obviously, so she's got drainage. So she wakes up in the morning due to drainage. She's nauseous. Now, mind you, this happens every single year. So my wife and I know exactly what this is. This is par for the course.
Right.
So she's nauseous because she has drainage. She has, you know, a stopped up nose. It's running a little bit. She has the sinusy cough from the drainage.
Did she go to school or did she stay home?
No, she went to school.
That's the problem. Just keep her home.
Well,
next time.
Even if we kept her home, they would have called us and asked us why, and she would have gotten a COVID test regardless. It was going to happen regardless.
So it was a CYA type of thing.
I would have said plain lie that we had a busy weekend. She's a little overtired, and I'm going to have her log on a little bit later today.
Well, I wasn't going to violate my personal integrity. So,
yeah, you
know,
for you.
We sent her to school, and she didn't eat that morning either. So on top of that, she's nauseous because she didn't eat. She's got sinus drainage. So she goes to school. She goes to nurse's office. Oh, I'm nauseated. Blah, 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 blah. They don't ask her if she ate breakfast or if she has a sinus infection and drainage and all the other crap. They just COVID.
And that comes as a directive from the county health commissioner.
Yeah, and I don't even care about them. But they called me, and I had words with the nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds familiar.
Like, choice words. And then I, you know, had to get my wife went and got my daughter, and then I immediately, we had her COVID tested at 10:30 that morning. We isolated her in the house, and we isolated from everybody else until we got the results, which were negative, by the way, because it's a freaking sinus infection. I'm like, I got it, but I'm about done with this whole thing. I'm done. I need more free time.
Free time would be great.
I need more free time. Like, I want to be able to go to a sporting event. I want to be able to go to a rest. Like, I don't drink, but I'd love to be able to go out to, like, the, you know, to the local bar and, like, enjoy an iced tea while my buddy's drinking adult beverage.
My birthday's coming up.
I know. And do those things. But a lot of the stuff that I would love to do during my free time has been cut off because of the pandemic. And I'm pretty certain that I feel the way most Americans do, regardless on which side of the aisle you're on, whether you know, believe in the lockdown or not, but you're probably tired of it just like I am.
I think that is about as accurate and you'll get a politically correct a statement as you could make. I mean, it's one of those things where
now he's offended. Great.
Who?
Me.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not politically correct. I'm just flipping correct.
That's right.
Actually, that's Ralphie May said that. He's one of my favorite comedians. All right. I like him.
Fair enough. But
I got a text today from Frank. Hey, we're watching the game at the DRI. You should come over. I'm like, all right, I want to come over. My wife had to go shopping. I had kids at home that needed supervision. And by the time she got home, she goes, you're going to go see Frank? The game's over.
Well, that's like, we got a phone call yesterday, my family, and it was my mother-in-law. And she's like, you guys want to come over to watch the game today? You know, well, yesterday being tomorrow. So anyway, I'm like, yeah, we could do
all
that.
All 500 feet?
Oh, yeah. We had a little bit more than that. But so I finished the project I was working on for school this morning, and then I went out and I finished mowing the yard because I got my lawnmower back because it had an issue that needed to be taken care of. And
already?
For whatever reason, I wound up having water in the gas tank. I don't know how that happened.
Use non-ethanol gas. Don't use the 87 that you get at the regular pump. Use the high test non-ethanol. It's bad for your tractor to run ethanol gas.
I'll ask the guy about that, but okay.
My dad worked at John Deere and small engine stuff.
I'm not using a John Deere, though.
Right, but it's still the same. What do you call it?
Anyway, but I finished mowing the yard. I took a shower, checked out my grades, and I went over to my in-laws and
watched the mighty midget get knocked around.
Would that be Russell Wilson?
That would be.
Okay. Basically, you know what, though? He was basically just saying, you know what? I feel bad for my Yankees teammates. I want to make him feel okay right now. Because you know that he plays spring training baseball with the Yankees.
He's an amazing quarterback.
He is. I mean, he had a lot of good plays today. He also got knocked down a whole lot today. But
he got knocked down 16 times today.
Well, apparently the Bills were hungry for beach chicken. So yeah. Congratulations to them. I'm glad they put a whooping on Seattle.
And I guess Seattle was also favored by 3?
Yeah.
Was that right?
And yeah, something like that.
And meanwhile, there were 78 points scored in the entire game. It was a lot of offense.
Yeah, like I'm with you. I've been so stressed lately, like with school, because I wrote a research paper and it actually did get a little political, but I was politically unbiased, and it's really hard to do because you have to realize that everybody does have biases, and so you try to make it as in the middle as possible. And I was sitting there and I was like, oh my God, what's my grade going to be? What's my grade going to be? And I even wrote her, you know, my professor a note. I was like, hey, Dr. So and so. You know, I think I might have rambled a little bit. I'm sorry. Like, and I think I'm in the ballpark. I don't know if I'm going around the diamond or not to score that point.
And the doctor responded with, you didn't ramble as much in your paper as you are in this email.
Well, she responded. She goes, you didn't ramble at all. She goes, you hit every nail on the head with the hammer, and it was very well written, and your references were fantastic. So I got full credit, and I was like, oh, thank God.
I was excited. That research paper I wrote a week ago, I did that with, I got the 96 after getting the extension on the paper because I told my professor like 3 weeks prior, I'm like, I'm going to need extra time. I just know what's coming down the pike. There's just no way I'm going to get to it.
Yeah.
So I was excited for that. And then one thing that I didn't share with you guys since I wasn't here last week is earlier last week, I was in a Zoom, because I got 4 classes back to back to back to back on Tuesdays.
I think he's going to say he was in a Zumba class.
No. Oh, I was not in a Zumba class.
I thought I heard the Z and I was like, Zumba?
No. Zoom. That's right. But one of the courses I'm taking, the professor has a bird who will occasionally just start squawking during class and she'll have to mute her screen so that we don't hear this bird. So at the end of class last
week... Does it swear? Please tell me it talks and swears.
It is a parrot.
Okay.
And I think off camera, I'm sure it has to know some words that are inappropriate.
Well, mine would. I'm just saying.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Exactly. Any parrot would, right? And so it's the end of class, and everybody's like, hey, professor, show us the parrot. We want to see. And a bird comes out, and it's...
strutting.
Basically, yeah. I mean, it's a gorgeous red. It looked like Toucan Sam.
Is it a macaw?
Oh, I love Fruit Loops.
I don't think it's a macaw, but it's freaking huge, and it's a gorgeous bird, right?
If he looks like the Fruit Loop bird, then it's a toucan.
Well, whatever it was a parrot. If a macaw is a kind of parrot, yes, no, maybe.
Here's a quick piece of trivia about Fruit Loops. Take one Fruit Loop and throw it in your mouth and eat it, regardless of the color. Yeah, they all taste exactly the same.
Oh, I agree. I 100% agree with you.
It's like, why doesn't Apple Jacks taste like apples?
That's right. But the point I'm getting at is we're talking like emailing your professors back and forth. I got an email at the end of this Zoom class from the professor because in the chat on the Zoom meeting, while we were talking, showing us this bird, and other classmates of mine are asking questions. I'm just sitting there like, oh, that's a cool bird. And then the bird went from the foreground of the screen, and it kind of climbed up her arm and was perched on her shoulder. And I write in the Zoom chat, I go, with the bird on your shoulder, your first name is now Hillary, like that, with A-R-R-R-Y. She wrote me an email and said, that is about as peak of a dad joke as I have ever heard. Kudos to you. I'm like, yeah, I've made it.
Hillary.
Yes, that's right.
This is what how he does with his spare time.
That's right.
Makes dad jokes.
Yes.
I actually downloaded a dad joke app, and every morning my daughter and I are doing back and forth. It's great.
Just downloading it is a dad joke in itself.
Absolutely, and I am not ashamed to say so.
Hey, but we are three dads, right? So
that's right.
It's allowed.
That's well, that happened last night, kind of a dad jokey type of moment. We had to stop at the grocery store on the way home from picking up number three from a friend's house, and so we get to Bad Tops, and I walk through the door. What are you guys laughing for?
Just the way, I'm wondering how many people listen to this and know exactly what Tops you're talking about.
A lot of them, if they listen.
It's it's not the one down here, is it?
Oh, yeah.
On 31?
Yeah.
Oh, that's Bad Tops.
That's Bad Tops.
It's the one with the red box out front.
Yeah.
Oh, that was at Bad Tops today.
So I'm walking in. All of a sudden, I did the John Travolta 1970-something strut. When he goes, what the heck are you doing? I said, I'm strutting. She goes, why are you strutting? I go, because I got a hot wife, and I'm showing her off by making everyone look at me.
Well played, sir. Well played.
I brought my daughter with me tonight because she needed some math help. So Craig's wife, Wendy, is being so gracious as to help her out. And on the way out here, I said, hey, Tegan, I'm going to stop and get a cup of coffee on the way out. Do you want something to eat? She goes, yeah. I go, I'm not sure what donuts they've got at Tim Hortons. And she goes, well, I don't know. What kinds are there? I go, well, typically, they're round with a hole in the middle. And she's just like, stop. I'm like, that was funny. And she looked at me with one of those faces on, like, I'm not going to laugh. I'm just not going to give you the satisfaction.
Whenever my kids bring home Timbits, I always say, I'm so thankful they stopped throwing these out.
I think we're answering our own question about what we do in our free time. We just talk about nothing, and it's just fun.
Well, we actually went out and did family photos yesterday. Oh, so we went to Akron State Park.
There was enough of a breeze, too, so your hair was blowing in the breeze.
Well, I used enough hair product that it wasn't going anywhere. And I went and did karate in the morning, and then the family showed up, and then they did karate and stuff. So we started the day with karate, as we always do.
I wrote a dirty word on the side of his truck in the dust, but he hasn't noticed it yet.
Really?
Yeah. I really did.
I will judo chop you as soon as we conclude this.
Hadouken!
Yeah. We actually have a technique that...
On the plastic part, so it didn't scratch.
Calls the Hadouken. But anyway, so we got done with karate, and then everybody went home. We, ate a bit of lunch and showered and changed and went out to Akron Falls State Park down in Clarence, I guess, or Akron, actually. And we did photos out there for about an hour and a half, and then came back, hit the... Not Bad Tops. Got stuff for hamburgers. I made hamburgers and we did hamburgers and chips and stuff. So that was kind of our day.
Well, typically when we talk about free time, you would be playing. I can't remember what that game is that you were playing where you're in the race car. And
oh, Rocket League? I don't even get to play that very much.
I was going to say, you don't get to play that very much because of all the schooling that's going on. Howie was writing for our website, and I have to apologize because I haven't written anything since September.
Neither one of us has really written much of anything. I've like sat down like, I'm going to write something, and then I realized,
dishes need to be done, the laundry needs to be folded. You know what? I should probably dust. When's the last time that it was vacuumed in the living room? That's what happens to me.
Yeah, I walk into a room to go to do one thing, and I wind up doing four other things except the one thing. It's like walking into a store without a shopping list. I get four things I know I need except the one thing I went there for.
I did that the other day. I'm in line. Yeah. I got a bunch of stuff at the Walmart, and I'm in line, and it's huge lines there because they only have like two things open, and I, on principle, refuse to go to the self-checkout. And I'm standing in line, and I'm with Corliss.
It's like, they don't give me a W-2.
Right.
That's right.
Do I get a discount? The whole reason I went there was because I closed my phone charger in the dresser drawer, and it crimped the thing. Mm. So now my phone was going ba-doom, ba-doom, ba-doom. All night, I'm like,
you need a new charger.
I need a new charger.
That's right.
So I went and got soda for work, so I have some for work. I got a new mouse pad for Corliss, and I got a new mouse pad for myself because I got a new laptop on Friday. And then I got a new mouse, got a gamer mouse here. And gamer mouse because I'm cheap.
I'm going to guess exactly where the story ends, and I'll tell you if I'm right in a moment.
I said, ooh, look, there's a sweatshirt. I got myself a sweatshirt, and I'm in line. I'm the next person to go, and I go, darn.
Yeah, you didn't say darn.
I did not say darn. But I said, darn, I was supposed to get
a charger.
And so I go, oh, I don't want to get back out of line. The woman in front of me threw her mask that they have chargers right here, right in line next to us. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't even noticed them. So I got two chargers. I got one for my car because Corlys stole the one from my car because she did the same thing. She shut it in a drawer so it was crimped. And then I wanted one for where I charge my phone at night. But I almost forgot the whole reason I went there.
Yeah.
Was just for chargers, but I came out with $120. I came out with a $30 box of Legos.
Nice. Nice. Every time I go to Walmart, now that you mention it, it's one of those things where one of the earlier South Park episodes, when it's like, you guys go on without me. I can't go on. This screwdriver says only $9.97. I can't let it go. And it's like the heart of Walmart is in electronics. It's one of those episodes that was just kind of sticks with you. It's right, but it's wrong.
I mean, every time I walk into Walmart, which is not very often, I try to avoid it at all costs, but I do go back to the electronics section.
I gotta tell you, my favorite store when it was in town was Sears Hardware. Mm-hmm. I loved Sears Hardware.
I always liked going to Radio Shack, not getting anything, just looking around and seeing the kind of gadgets.
I liked going to Radio Shack, but I couldn't afford to shop there.
I used to do that with my dad when I was a kid.
Exactly.
We'd just go to Radio Shack. Like, what are we doing? We're looking at electronics. Why? Because we're men. That's what we do. Like, that was pretty much the answer.
That's always how it works.
Do you remember when we used to have component stereos for your house? And I had the freestanding speakers.
Oh, yes.
I needed a new set of speakers, so I went to Radio Shack, and I said, I just need... So these speakers look nice. They're $119. And this is 30 years ago. I want like a set of these things, and they come up, and they go, it's 200 and some... I go, it's just said it's $119 for one. What kind of idiots sell one speaker at a time? And the guy wasn't too impressed with me, so
I remember growing up, my dad and my mom had like a gigantic main living room wall unit, like most people tend to do. I mean, in some fashion, they still do. You got the TV that makes, you know, everybody's watching, right? So we had the TV, and then underneath that was the VCR connected to it, and under that was like a little cabinet where you can put all the tapes and so on.
We had a Betamax.
We had one of those, but it was in the other room. And then on the side of the TV, we had all the components. We had my dad's record player, and then eventually we got the CD player, and we had a dual cassette deck. We had an equalizer, a receiver, and then on the bottom, he had an open reel deck.
I was going to ask you if you had the Laserdisc.
We never had that.
Okay. Only one person had a Laserdisc.
Like we had the Iowa, which was test product for Sony. And so if it did good, then they would just take the Iowa label off, like modify the design slightly and slap a Sony label on it, and it was done.
I've still got two of those that work in my house.
I know, right? Aren't they? They last for forever.
They do.
Forever.
I mean, they kind of glitch every now and then, but they work.
For the most part, they still work. I mean, you had the equalizer setting. You could get the one with the record player on top, the tape deck, you know, and you had the auxiliary jacks. You could plug in a CD player if you wanted to. So, yeah, it was... I remember those back in the day. My parents still had 8-tracks. I remember like, what the heck is this? Like, where does this go? There's no slot for this.
I still have an 8-track player, and I have a handful of 8-tracks that were my parents that they decided to get rid of. I know what your feeling is on Meatloaf, Howie, but if
you don't
I ever...
Like Meatloaf?
No, the band, he loves them.
Oh, okay.
I like...
If
I thought you were talking about the food.
Ever...
I like both.
Ever hear Bat Out of Hell on the 8-track player again... I'll scream. When I was a kid, and I've told the story before.
Yes.
On Saturday mornings when my mom was cleaning, she put that 8-track in, cranked the knob, and as soon as you hear the opening...
Bum, bum.
Right. Bum, as soon as you heard that, you were either out the door or you were roped into helping. And then they had the weird clicks between tracks, and sometimes it would fade out, and then it would come back in. Oh, yeah, it was... 8-tracks were terrible.
I will say that that's still one of the greatest concerts I've ever actually attended. Was a Meatloaf VH1 Storytellers concert.
You went to Storytellers?
I did. He was in Syracuse for a VH1 Storytellers concert. And it was basically like going to a concert at the Palace in Lockport.
Hmm.
And that's how condensed the crowd was.
That's where I saw David Allan Coe was at the Palace in Lockport.
Oh, goodness.
I will say this, though.
I had front row seats. It was amazing.
He had audience participation for this thing. So he brings this one guy up on stage. No, I'm sorry. He brings this one girl up on stage and it says, all right, so before you came in today, it said on this little handout as you were walking in, you've checked that you are okay making out in front of people. And she's like, says something. He says, oh, your boyfriend's in the audience? Well, that's too bad for him unless I call his name. Is this your boyfriend? And he calls some name. And this one guy who's like young 20 something. He stands up, like, he's like, yo, it's me. And Meatloaf's like, is that your boyfriend? She's like, no. He goes, well, I guess you're going to be making out with this guy instead. And he had those two do the whole acting out bit in the interlude of Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Nice.
Which was just super cool. The guy who was involved is walking back and he's giving high fives to everybody. And the girl who's involved is like beat red. And she's just like, I can't believe I agreed to do this. But she, I got to tell you, she was all into it on the stage.
Uh-huh. Until she got back to her seat.
At one point, he looks like, your boyfriend's in the stands? You're in the audience? Well, it sucks to be him. It was like, he didn't care. And the audience loved it. It was great. And I know you hate the album, but even he agreed. I still say one of the greatest rock ballads ever is the last song on that album, for crying out loud.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Again, we're just talking about whatever.
So you said before we got started on this thing that you kind of have a lull coming up.
I do. I'm
so
excited.
Are you going to have a little more free time, or are you going to fill that with something else that'll be work-ish related?
I don't know. I do know I still have to log a nice chunk of field observation hours for teaching. And
here
I've got,
we have the middle school student in the wild.
That's right. That's right. So, but I'm still subbing too. I sub tomorrow. I sub this coming Friday. I know Wednesday nothing's open. The lull is going to last until just before Thanksgiving. And then from that point forward, it's going to be basically wrapping up all the classes I'm taking.
And no break in probably until after Hanukkah.
I don't even know when Hanukkah starts this year. No, let me rephrase that. I know it starts at sundown. I just don't know what day.
Yeah, I don't get a lull until like the week of Christmas. Like I get 2 weeks off. It'll be my first break from school since starting on my birthday this year. I will go a little over 4 months with no break, and I'm brain dead right now.
I know how you feel. I went all summer. I went a month at summer, week off, a month at summer, I think 2 or 3 weeks off, and then I started at the last week in August, and I've been going straight through since. So, and then I got a 3-week course I'm taking in January. You guys will be shocked I'm taking a course on the history of movies in January.
Go figure.
Oh my goodness. Can you imagine? And then I'm taking 2 courses on history of movies next semester, but they're all 3 of those are electives, and they all have a purpose. You can laugh at me all you want, but I'm going to make sure that it works.
He'll be the valedictorian of those classes.
I might be.
Probably.
There's probably somebody out there who knows more pop culture trivia, though.
Oh, there's always.
There's always somebody who knows more.
First person who comes to mind is Ken Jennings.
Oh, good Lord. The guy knows everything.
Meanwhile, since you brought up Ken Jennings,
yes.
May he rest in peace, Alex Trebek.
Yes. Yeah, I saw that. It came across my newsfeed today while I was at work, and I was like, what? And I was like, can this dumpster fire get any worse?
Think about it. 2020 is like, we're going to get rid of all these different baseball Hall of Famers and all these people here. And oh, you know what? We're going to take Sean Connery. And hey, by the way, to all of you who care, this is the person who we think is going to win the election. And then the world's going to be celebrating. And then it's going to be, oh, by the way, we're going to take Alex Trebek. And it's just like, you know, come on. So there's a joke somewhere.
There's a joke out there that says, thank God 2020 is almost over because it can't get any worse. And then 2021 says, hold my beer.
Yeah.
I've seen that. And it looks like it might happen. Like I saw something else that ran across my newsfeed since we've been doing the show.
Yeah.
And I was like, for the love of God, no.
Well, anyway, 2021 is going to be a big year for me. Regardless of what happens and where any place else.
Blackjack.
No.
Oh, okay.
My free time is going to be taken up by a project that I guesstimate.
I like this project, by the way, that you're about to introduce.
It's going to take 4 years or so to finish. My goal is to start on January 1st, 2021.
Time out. Start January 2nd.
Well, I don't go out New Year's Eve, so that's not a problem.
I'm just saying, start January 2nd. Your kids are going to be home.
You know what? If he doesn't start at the beginning of the month, he's going to be thrown off for the whole month.
Okay, never mind. Even if you just read a page on the first, go for it. But okay.
Right. So my goal is to start January 1st, 2021. Mm-hmm. And to finish in time for Inauguration Day 2025 and go to the inauguration to wrap up this project. So that's my goal. Whether I can do it or not is going to be a different story. So here it is. I am going to read at least 2 biographies from every president that we've had since George Washington, starting with George Washington and doing it in order that they were president. I sent Howie and my friend Scott a list of the books that are right now on the radar to read for this, and it's 6 pages long.
It's a lot of books. It's a lot of reading. If anybody could do it, Craig can do it.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
So the
I'm not doing it either.
Book that I'm reading is a 4-volume biography on George Washington by James Flexner. It's about 2,000 pages, maybe a little more. And then the second book in that series is going to be Washington, A Life by Ron Chernow. He writes a lot of great biographies.
He wrote Hamilton. I was going to say he wrote Hamilton. All right, now, here's my question for you. Since you read so much, and anybody listening who's listened to this podcast more than once knows you read so much, do you attack reading a nonfiction biography differently than you would, say, a science fiction novel?
I know from the get-go it's going to take me longer because there's more to digest.
Okay.
When you're reading a fiction book like science fiction or the thrillers that I like, I don't read every word on the page like a person who's not me might. Right. I see the action that's happening on the page as a video or movie in my head, which makes me read rather quickly when it comes to that stuff. I know it takes me about twice as long to read nonfiction than it does fiction. My fiction output, somewhere around 100 pages an hour. So my nonfiction would be about 50 pages an hour.
Which is still far above average compared to the run-of-the-mill person.
Yeah, and I remember you saying that you were doing a live text thing with one of my epic fantasy authors, and so I'm waiting on those books to come out.
Yep.
And so when they do, then I can read the first and the second books again because I'm waiting on books 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Yep. I was on a Zoom call with an author that Bobby likes. It was pretty cool. It was an invitation. He had to apply for an invitation. And then
that's awesome.
Yep. I'm looking forward to later this month. Ready Player 2 comes out.
The book?
Yes.
I'll be all over it.
I'll definitely be all over it. I am so looking forward to reading that.
So I gave my wife a list on Google of the books that I want for Christmas, because I always get books for Christmas, and I gave them to her in order of importance. So that way I know that I make sure I get the first books in my thing going. What I plan on doing while reading these is once I finish up a book is talk a little bit about it on our website, and then move on to the next one. And then when I'm done with each president, again, blog about it, but there may be something a little more digital in there also for each president. But it's going to be a long project. I bought myself a new notebook so I have a place to keep notes because I can't read and then type on the computer. If I'm reading, the computer can't even be near me.
I understand that.
But it's a big project, and I think it's going to be super interesting.
For somebody like you who enjoys history the way you do, I don't know why it wouldn't be. It actually sounds exciting. It sounds intense, but I'm looking forward to reading about it.
The thing that I think is unknown about doing something like this is the amount of research that goes into setting up the list. Because I have told nobody about this until the last week or so, but I've been working on it for probably a month. I had certain criteria. There are other people who have done this, so I'm not the first, but I want to do it a little bit differently. So I've read 3 other blogs, and they talk about which books they liked, and so then I figured out what by their reviews and then by the Amazon and Barnes & Noble reviews. And then the whitehouse.gov or whatever it is for the White House, they have a president's part there. And they talk about what their list of books would be for each president, their top 2 books. So I kind of put these all together and figured out, one, which books should I include? Which books should I omit? What order should I read them in? And then I had to come up with a revisionist history part of it. Do I want to do revisionist history? Because it does have, there are some valid points to revisionist history. I am not a fan of it. So at this point, the idea is to focus on what has been written about that person in context of their times, not in context of our times.
Which is always important anyway.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to, once my semester is over, I have 2 books that have been sitting on my nightstand. One of them is halfway done, and the other one is like 70 pages into it. One of them is called Good Enough to Dream. It's based off of 1 year of ownership that Roger Kahn, famous baseball author, he wrote Boys of Summer, about the Brooklyn Dodgers. He was an owner of...
They just won the World Series.
Not Brooklyn. No. Kahn owned...
They tore down the goalpost at Ebbets Field about a month ago.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Sports. Wow.
Sports ball, yes. He owned, I want to say, it was a team in Oneonta. And he owned, it was like a low A ball type of thing. And he owned a team. And someone was like, are these guys going to make the majors? Are they that good? And one of the people led to the title of the book. And she was like a secretary. She said, they're not the best, but they're good enough to dream. I'm like, that's a phenomenal title. So it's based off a real life experience of him. And the other one is completely fictional. It's called The Spellbook of Katrina Von Tassel, which was written, I guess, by a Western New York author. I bought it a couple years ago. And it's more or less like a revisionist type of thing regarding the legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, that's cool.
Which sounds really cool.
Yeah, as soon as you said Van Tassel, I was like, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, hey, I know what we're talking about.
That's right. Sleepy Hollow, which is just fun anyway, so.
Yeah. I got a book on my nightstand I'm one chapter into, and I don't even know how many pages that is. I want to read for enjoyment, but because I'm reading so much for my master's degree, like, you get a book, you got to read that for class. That's great. But now you can't use that book as a reference, so now you have to go through the online digital library and read journals and peer-reviewed papers and other books. And I'm like, I do so much reading. My eyes hurt.
I understand exactly where you're coming from, because there's so much stuff that you're required to read when you're in class right now. It's just one of those things where it's like, I want to read for fun.
I do.
I don't have time, and your eyes are tired. It's like, at what point does the... Now, thankfully, two of the classes I'm taking right now, one of them is young adult literature, and the other one is ethnic and minority literature. And I just like, you know, at least these books that I'm reading are, for the most part, enjoyable. Although, Craig, I did talk to you and Scott at one point and said I wrote a paper based off a book that I just couldn't get into, and I even was upfront and honest with the professor. I'm like, I don't like this book. By the way, I'm just going to write my response on... I wrote a response saying I hated the book, I didn't like the book, but I know who the author is, I know what he stood for, so here's my two pages of thoughts on the author, and I still got my 10 out of 10.
Yeah, but you weren't going to be able to do that again in that
class. No. Although the book that I have to read for this class for this coming week is a lot more different and a lot...
The book that you had an issue with, I'm a reader, I had an issue with it.
Anything that gets too steeped in religion, I just start glazing over. I'm just like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I got to buy my next book for my next class before they get all sold out, so I probably need to do that when I get home at some point this evening, so I'm just...
How much do you think you read a year? I know last year you tried to read...
2 years ago, I tried to read 52.
Okay.
I got up to about 35. And then last year, I tried reading 20, and it was a failure of epic proportions. This year, I've tried reading 20, and I'm going to eclipse it and go past it.
Okay.
Are we talking like books for enjoyment or just reading in general?
In general.
I probably, when I'm working on school, which is at least 3 days a week, I'm probably reading 4 to 5 hours a day. Mm. And that's when I'm not doing a research paper.
Sounds like heaven.
Yeah, for you.
Craig is the living embodiment of the Twilight Zone guy. May he never break his glasses.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm reading at least 15 hours a week, okay? And that's for non-research paper type stuff. If I'm doing a research paper, probably add another 10 to 20 hours to that, because I will set up till midnight doing research, bookmarking, all that stuff. Like, it's a thing. So... And do I want to read all these doggone studies that have statistics and stuff? No.
Well, when I see the statistics and the studies, I read them. Show me the conclusion and tell me what I'm looking at.
I want to read the epic fantasy novel where the lady has like 2 ounces of metal on her body and she is in full plate armor. And she kills the bad guys. Just saying.
I'm reading a book right now that is semi-autobiographical, that is equal parts Gangs of New York and Seedy Underbelly of New York City with Boss Tweed, mixed with Vito Corleone's immigration fictional story from Godfather 2 and all the flashbacks told there. It's like a combination of that. And it's gritty and realist is all get out.
I've read 110 books so far this year, and I'm a little disappointed that April and May and part of June were so bad for me for reading. It should be about 130. But for those 3 months, I got COVID bored. And I was so bored I couldn't even read.
But those were the months we also were keeping our Corona blog.
Yeah, I ran out of books from the library.
Well, forget that. We were keeping our Corona blog, and then we realized this is going to get boring because we're all going to be doing the same thing.
Same thing, yeah.
Everybody just kind of fell off.
Yeah, the world just basically stopped. So speaking of stopping, I'm looking
at the time. Yep, we're stopping now.
We're doing good.
Yeah. So. Because we have some more time we have to waste.
Yeah. Yeah, I get home. I got to make sure that everybody gets to bed on time, and then I got reading to do. Go figure.
Go figure.
I got a reading response to write as well.
I got to read tonight, too. Chapter. I want to finish a book tonight. I started it this morning, so I should be able to finish it tonight.
If I can get half of a book done tonight, I'll be happy.
All right. So anyway, for Howie and Bobby, I am Craig. Thank you for listening to Dads Must Be Crazy. Join us again next week. The Dads Must Be Crazy would like to thank Scott Leffler for putting together our awesome intro to the show. And thank you to Amanda Hodge, who helps us with our designs and logos. Intro and outro music provided by Incomptech.com. Our theme music is Retro Future Clean by Kevin McLeod, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.